Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I had prepared a message for today, but God had something different in mind. I made the mistake, tongue in cheek, of reading the news today and reading of the results of this most recent election. And I have to tell you, it wounded me to the heart. And for a moment, I lost hope. We've been teaching for a couple weeks on hope, and I got discouraged because my hope was put in the wrong place. I'm preaching to me today. And if you hear the state of this man, perhaps you might find yourself in a state of discouragement, in a state of losing hope. But I call you to remembrance of where our hope as Christians, as those whom God chose in Christ before the worlds were formed. I call you to the Word of God, a message, a signpost on this journey of faith, can be found in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 33rd chapter. In that which is called the Song of Asher. It says, as Moses was blessing the children of Israel, he said, and of Asher, and that name means happy. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. And let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. He says, Deuteronomy 33:25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. I am thanking God this morning for his Word, which lets me know, though called in Jesus Christ, it's a tough trip. Iron and brass shoes are fit for battle. And if you have been called in Christ by God our Father, I assure you, you're in battle, but God promises equipment suitable for the battle. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy day, so shall thy strength be. I have to tell you, after that news, I was feeling very weak. Discouraged. Wasn't going to bring a message because of my discouragement. But God, in His kindness, and in the hope of His word, gives me strength today to bring this message of hope properly placed to the church of the living God, the church of Jesus Christ, the people who belong to our Lord. 27th verse says, "The eternal God shall be thy refuge, and underneath all are the everlasting arms. This word, the eternal God, or this phrase, the eternal God, is best translated the God of the forefront. The God who's on the corner before we get there. If in your mind's eye you might have some understanding of what's being said here, it says, regardless of what we're going into, the God of the forefront is there before us. And it says, the God of the forefront is thy refuge. This place of protection. This place of shelter. This place to which we run, the God who is on the corner before we get there, is our place of protection, of safety, of comfort. Think on that as we go and continue in the hope of the Word of God. I'd bring you this morning not quite finished with this Song of Asher. It says, the eternal God is thy refuge, And underneath all are the everlasting arms. I'm telling you this morning, it doesn't happen very often, but I was down. 'Cause my hope was misplaced. But the Word of God, the promise of God, is the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath all are the everlasting arms. The picture in the Hebrew is, if you could picture, bottomless. It says, underneath, bottomless are the everlasting arms. Put your hope in God and His Word, and He will bring it to pass. I just want to read some of God's Word. Again, as I opened, I'm speaking to me. I hope some of it might serve as continued encouragement to you as it is to me this morning. I'm not going to read it all. My recommendation is to all of you read the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start in the 17th verse. It talks about the law and that manifestation of the law when God gave it to Moses, that manifestation on his face, that his face shined so that he had to put a veil on his face because that shining of his face caused the people who saw it to be afraid. Paul compares that manifestation of the law as a light, but the manifestation of the gospel, a greater light. It says, I hope those who are listening have ears to hear, and that by His Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, understanding will come. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding, that is, reflecting, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. He opens a fourth chapter saying, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, thank God, we faint not. I had almost fainted for a while today. I may be a teacher of God's word, but I'm a man subject to all the frailties that we men and women have as children of Adam and Eve, but also that which is born again of God, as we have this ministry, this word has to do with one carrying out the commands of another. And I speak not of my authority, but the authority of God and His word, which is forever settled in heaven. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's not the eternal God, that's not the God of the forefront, that's not God our Father, but the God of the children of this world, whom Paul declares are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that faith not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul is on a high here, and all of a sudden he gets back to life in this world. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. One translation has it, we have this treasure in cracked pots, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. It's a paradox, folks. Physical death, spiritual life. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. The word is pisteos, I faith, and therefore I have spoken. We faith, and therefore we speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace, unmerited favor, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. We're talking about God's word. We're talking about God's promises. We're talking about the hope of our calling. We're talking about where our hope belongs. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We are a dual creation. The old man, which is perishing, and the new man, the inward man, the new creation in Christ, is being renewed day by day. And I thank God that today is today, and the inward man is being renewed in me and in you also who faith. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and I thank God that my fainting was but for a moment, and the light of God's word set again my hope in not what I've seen, not what I was seeing, but in God and in his word. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Focus on God and what he has said. And if we see. So, a quick little story. I had some friends that traveled last weekend. And as they were coming home, there was a rainstorm, and they were in the midst of quite a bit of traffic, traveling 75 miles an hour, and the car began to hydroplane and spin out of control at 75 miles an hour in the midst of heavy traffic, and the car spun out and spun and spun and turned and hit the back of the car, hit the middle divider, almost to a point where the car was totaled. They had not a scratch on them. And as my friend was telling me the story, you know, I said, well, you know, for we walk by faith and not by sight, but once in a while, God in his grace and his loving kindness shows us some of his faithfulness, and it's nice to know that the God of the forefront was their refuge. Almost unbelievably, not another car involved, hitting that median at 70 plus miles an hour, car damaged severely, but they were able to drive home. God does exercise loving kindness in the earth because in it he does delight. And our boast is going to continue in God, who lets us see once in a while his hand in our lives. But Paul tells us that we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. We thank God for the kindness to our friends that day, but we're continuing in the hope of the gospel of God, in that promise of God, in this dual creation, in the renewing day by day of the inward man. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul goes on, now I skipped into the fifth chapter. Let's go back to the beginning. For we know that if our earthly tabernacle were dissolved, and it will be, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon which with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who has also given unto us the earnest, that part payment of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are, Paul says, absent from the Lord. In other words, we're not home yet. But our home is in heaven, and God has promised eternal life to those who are trusting Him and His Word. And our hope is in God, and that is the God School for today.